The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Thanks for downloading the weekly podcast from Radio Today. We're in the offices of multimedia producers Something Else today to discuss last night's Radio Academy Awards, formerly known as the... No, I'm not going to give them any more publicity. To chew over the big stories are Steve Ackerman, who is MD of Something Else. Thanks for having us, Steve.
Hello, Trevor.
And radio futurologist and old friend of the RTP, James Cridland. Hello, James.
Hello, greetings.
Let's start with the dinner and the show and the evening itself. How did it compare with previous incarnations of the Radio Academy Awards, Steve?
Well, I would just start by saying that having been to many award ceremonies for many different sorts of media, the Radio Academy Awards is still absolutely right up there. I think it's easy to underestimate actually what a great night it is, the level of celebrity involvement you get, the standard it gets. And you kind of take these things a little bit for granted that Robbie Williams has performed there in previous years, or Gary Barlow, and this year, obviously, the Kaiser Chiefs. However, funnily enough, I just felt the atmosphere seemed a little bit flatter this year for some reason. And I don't think it was just because, personally, we didn't win. It just wasn't quite as rowdy as it sometimes
is. You did win. You won a silver.
We did win a silver. You're right. We did win a silver. But you know, those sort of big gold moments. But we did win a silver. But it just didn't quite feel as rowdy as it sometimes does. However,
but is that because there weren't people there who were not part of the industry? Because that's the big difference, isn't it? There used to be 10 or 15 tables occupied by salespeople from that organisation we're not going to mention, and they weren't there.
Well, it seemed to me that the everyone from Global were fantastic. They'd clearly had the directive, cheer for everything, and they did. They really were getting behind their colleagues and cheering. And you needed a few more pockets in the room like that that would just get things going. And we probably needed one or two moments on the stage that would just get everyone going a little bit, which we did have maybe towards the end of the night. I know maybe you'll come on to that. But you know, I suppose what I'm really saying is, overall, the awards is still a fantastic awards, but maybe this year wasn't the best year it's ever had.
James, did you think it was a bit flat?
Do you know, I actually felt the opposite. And I think it's actually who you're sitting next to, who's on the table. I was sitting next to David Lloyd, and of course he was, you know, very excited and cheering and completely flabbergasted when Gem 106 won the award that they ended up winning. Completely excited, and you know, and it was wonderful sitting next to David and reminding myself, you know, of how passionate people are about radio. And I was right next to the Ashley Tabor table. And there was this tremendous point during the night when the logo of Real Radio appeared on the screen. And clearly they'd been told, well, you must cheer for everything to do with Global. And as soon as the Real Radio logo appeared on the screen, everybody else on that table looked at Ashley to work out whether or not to cheer. It was hilarious. But, you know, and I felt actually it was a very up ceremony. It was, you know, Chris was clearly, you know, his last year, apparently, and so therefore very sort of devil may care.
You mentioned that. Is it Chris's last year?
It would appear so, given that he announced it.
Yes, because I'd been told he'd got a further year.
So far as I was aware,
he had a further year. You're a trustee of the Academy, so you can surely clear this up.
I'm afraid. I think that Chris Evans has made his mind up in the way that Chris Evans has, you know, always does. And you know, I thought it was a good event, and I thought, you know, there were very few cynics on the on our table. There were very few people going, "Oh bloody hell, I've never heard of them," or "Why did they win?" And I have been on those tables in the past, and I think that's one of those things.
There was certainly a bit more room. You know, they hadn't sold as many tables. In a sense, that made the event nicer. I thought it was easier to walk around and just
easier to mingle.
There weren't
all these television salesmen there who you didn't know. And I think that was really nice. So that actually everybody was part of the radio community. And I think the other thing that I wanted to mention about the type of people who were there is that the Radio Academy Awards is a really interesting levelling event. In that, yes, you've got people like, you know, Kay Burley, Ashley Tabor, Richard Park there. But you also have, you know, some really quite junior staff who have, you know, been nominated or won the first award, you know, in the first couple of years. And actually, it's a wonderful event for that kind of thing. So you see from, you know, all levels of the industry.
It's actually very unusual when you look at other award ceremonies that everyone in the room has some awareness or knowledge of pretty much every nominee. So even if you don't know the work, you know that they're a student station or a community station or a local station or a national station. And certainly when you go to maybe TV awards or advertising awards, that isn't always the case. And as a result, you kind of get what James was describing, where you do get that atmosphere in the room of a sort of a shared interest and an interest in every category. You know, you don't... I have been to awards where the level of talk going on amongst the tables is so high, you can't actually hear what's going on at the stage.
Because people aren't interested.
Yeah.
Even for the artists. I mean, when Alfie Bowe is on, complete silence.
Yeah, yes. Alfie Bowe played at the start, and I said that to a colleague. I said, a lot of respect for a musician, as there should be, obviously.
Okay, let's pick out some highlights. Steve, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I always, all through life, I like seeing underdogs win. So I thought it was great seeing the presenting pair from Gem win. I think that was that Best Music Personality.
Absolutely.
And they beat some real heavyweights. You know, Radcliffe and McConey and Graham Norton and obviously...
Chris Evans and Christian O'Connell.
Chris Evans as well. So fantastic when you see those sorts of moments. I was very pleased to see programmes like Jamie Cullum win, because I think there is an example of a really well-made programme, someone who's a natural broadcaster coming from a different world. And it's always good to see that bit of variety alongside some of the ones you kind of expect, like the Danny Baker moments. So I thought those were... Those were excellent moments. I think we could have done with maybe one or two more underdog moments.
I really like, there was one point right in the middle where there was this video played to celebrate commercial radio at 40. And that was a lovely moment that, just sort of thinking back 3, 4, 5 years ago in these awards, I can't see that would actually have happened. You know, the fact that you had... in a BBC and commercial radio event, a real celebration of 40 years of commercial radio and lots of really good names on that video. You know, that was really nice, and it was really good for the BBC to see that, I think, actually. And I think, you know, alongside that, real success for LBC, which I'm thrilled about. I'm a long-time listener and zero-time caller. But, you know, LBC is a great, great station. And I think, again, the video that was played to demonstrate what LBC have done over the last couple of years... I think if you're working for Radio 4 or for 5 Live, it was a real wake-up moment for you, because I don't think that those radio stations really have understood what LBC is all about and have really seen the tremendous change that LBC has had over the last couple of years, and James Rear making a real change there.
I think
and
that's
great
right.
A moment when Boris came on, as ever.
Well, you know, I was going to mention Boris, and actually I was going to mention the Journalist of the Year, who was from LBC, and that was terrific as well, because he was a pretty young chap. And
he's
very
about 12, isn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, clearly very impressive. But you're right, that, you know, the special award going to LBC, I think, was completely deserved, and you know, very much in agreement with that. For me, they have been the radio success story of the year.
Quite surprised they didn't win the Station of the Year in their category, which was won by Radio Ulster.
Well, I think it's easy, you know, look, you both know, you have been judges on a regular basis. People looking in from outside often feel there's some sort of conspiracy going on or some reason why someone didn't win. And as we all know, it always boils down to what the actual entries are like. And you can never quite legislate, if you're not in the room, for the conversation that goes on in the room, having heard the quality of those entries. Now, I'm sure LBC's entry would have been of a very high quality, because the stuff they've made has been very good this year. But I didn't hear their entry or the Radio Ulster one, and so I assume the Radio Ulster one had its own particular special elements to it. But, you know, you can't take away from the fact LBC is on the crest of a wave at the moment, and rightly so, thoroughly deserved.
Let's talk about Speech Radio Broadcaster of the Year, if we may. Victoria Derbyshire knocked for the first time, and Jane Garvey second. I wonder if there's ever been two women at the top of that category. I doubt it, but I was rather pleased with that.
Yeah, certainly a positive. I mean, I'm a big fan of Victoria Derbyshire. I think, again, she has she has changed what mid-morning speech radio was often perceived to be about. And I think the thing she does really well is moving from those lighter moments to, you know, interviews of real, on really difficult subjects and of real potency. And she has really become the master of that. I think she owns that space to a great degree. So, I, you know, absolutely great to see. And we all know as an industry, we struggle with bringing through sometimes, I think, women leaders and women in prominent roles. And the more you see this sort of result, the more it can only encourage the next wave, which can only be a real positive for the entire industry.
It'd be nice to have Jane Garvey on the radio more, wouldn't it? I mean, she just because of doing Woman's Hour, which she doesn't have to do every day, there's just not enough Jane on the radio for me.
We need more Jane Garvey. We need more Feek Lover.
Yeah, indeed we do.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I tell you, one of the other ones that really surprised me was music documentary. Two of the three winners were for programmes on Radio 4. And if you were to ask me, you know, would you put Radio 4 and music together? I, my first inclination would be to say absolutely no. And, you know, surely Radio 2 or Radio 1 would have ended up there, or indeed 6 music. So I found that odd, but also that probably shows that I don't understand enough of some of the output of Radio 4, maybe.
I think you probably find that there are lively exchanges of views within Broadcasting House about whether Radio 4 should be doing as much music programming as it is.
I would really, really love to see going forward commercial radio starting to feature more in some of these categories. I think Absolute Radio have started to show that it is possible for commercial radio to come up with some terrific stuff in this space, and I think did get nominated, didn't they, in that category with the David Bowie.
Yes. Yeah, I think they had two.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, it is still possible to create a different sort of music radio that doesn't have to be expensive just because it's maybe a documentary or has more speech in it.
It was a good year for the indies, perhaps not the very best, but it was nevertheless a good one. When you look at the list, though, the indies are still, by and large, with those two exceptions, working for the BBC. Can you see a time, Steve, when you'll be able to sell more stuff into commercial radio?
Not really. I think, and that's okay. I think that's just the nature of the market. I think you've got some big groups in radio, in commercial radio now, and they, you know, they have their own particular way of doing things, and that's fine. I think if you're talking about indies, I did want to mention TBI Media and Phil Critchlow, because they were unfortunate in that they had 6 nominations, nothing that got a gold, and yet to get 6 nominations,
amazing.
I think really shows the strength of quality that company is producing. And I'm not saying anything here I haven't said to Phil himself. I've got a lot of admiration for what they do, and when you look at the standout moments of radio they have created this year, and they have done that for commercial radio as well as BBC. That is a company I think to be really admired and lauded, and I'm, you know, I just felt a tinge of disappointment that they didn't have their moment on the stage.
It's such a shame. It's like the Nick Ferrari year when he got millions of nominations, didn't actually win a gold. You need that big moment of triumph, I think, don't you? What about Best Entertainment Programme and Greg James winning that? We all like Greg James, don't we?
Yeah.
Did he win it for Wrecking Ball, or did he win it for his radio show?
Well, again, look, who knows what the entry was, but I never underestimate. You can't win gold unless you've got a fantastic entry. You know, it is not possible, because the judging process is rigorous and it has real credibility and integrity. And my experience of the judging process is the gold winner is normally very obvious. You know, normally the gold winner stands out, and the debate is really about silver and bronze and nominations. And I'm sure that was the case this time around as well.
Tell us about Lip Dub Lincoln, James.
Well, so Lip Dub Lincoln, and I should just say that they won one of the new creative, one of the new innovation awards, the Creative Innovation Award, I think it was. And there was another indie, Podium.me, which is a fascinating and weird and wonderful organisation that also ended up going away with a gong from that category as well. So Lip Dub Lincoln won gold. And it was a lip dub, which for the older people in here is people essentially miming along to a song, but done as one continuous take. And the way that Lip Dub did, if I remember the YouTube video right, was everybody in Lincoln. So you had, you know, everybody from the mayor to some of the farmers to, you know, everybody
cycling
to do
club,
with
the choirs.
Exactly right. You know, the entire community of Lincoln. And they stuck a camera in the back of a of a trailer or something, and they drove all the way up the hill to the cathedral, and everybody lip-dubbed a couple of Take That songs and did dances and everything else. It was very, very cleverly put together. And I remember looking at the video at the time and going, well, that's a lovely piece of thing, that's a lovely piece of expensive video, not really understanding the audio behind it. But I was played not so long ago some of the audio that actually went on the radio station, and you could really feel that this was a community that was gelling together behind this video, behind, you know, making Lincoln, you know, a really interesting place, knowing that actually, you know, there would be hundreds of thousands of views of this thing once it had actually ended up being done, and a real community spirit. And I thought that's really, and I was so pleased that it ended up winning, because that's one of the things that local radio does tremendously well. And, you know, great to see now playing on Six Music, which is one of yours, Steve, walking away with a silver in that category as well. But really good also to actually see that going to the gold, going to a local station with just an idea that worked really, really well.
If you haven't seen it, get on YouTube and just put in Lip Dub Link, and you'll find it's really, really good piece of work. Tony Blackburn, special award winner, gold award winner, second time he's won it. Who's to say he won't win it a third time? Great speech, Steve.
It was great. And actually, you need moments like that that unify the room. And, you know, I must admit, in advance, I wasn't quite sure if that would be that moment. But it was. You could see the affection in the room. Graham Norton introduced him and was very funny and really did a great speech, and maybe a nice, you know, audition as a potential host of the awards in future years. Who knows? And then Tony Blackburn himself was terrific. And, you know, just came across as a genuinely passionate guy. We all know the stories about how much he loves radio and how much he loves music, and it was very clear from everything he was saying. So that actually was one of the standout moments of the night, I thought.
And he genuinely does unite the room, because he does work for commercial radio and the BBC, and there's still so few people on air who do that, and he's one of very, very few, and that's a great thing, isn't it, for the industry?
Yeah, absolutely, and as he said, he's pretty much worked with everybody or for everybody, so, you know, in that sense, everybody's got a story or something about him which I think helped that warmth across the room.
So next year, what would you change if you were on the committee, Steve?
That's a difficult one. You know, I think, you know, there's always this debate every year in terms of, well, should there be less awards? Or, you know, I certainly think it could be time to look at a different venue. And I know there's maybe a few thoughts going around that. Clearly, if Chris Evans is stopping, then that's a chance to think about that side of things as well. I think he's been a terrific host. I really do. And so I would be loath that you go back to some of the formats that have been tried before, where it's sort of, you know, every year let's give someone a turn who's from, you know, commercial radio or, you know. Yeah. The main thing is you've got to go for someone who can really provide momentum and energy, and who also has that gravitas of being a top performer. So that obviously limits the list.
And I think that there are a few obvious heirs in waiting, aren't there? There's Mr. O'Connell from Absolute Radio, who already does the Archivas really, really well, yeah. Understands how to do a really good job such as that. I think you're absolutely right in terms of Graham Norton. I wonder how much he understands about commercial radio, and I don't know his background as well as maybe you do. And, you know, so I think
maybe
obvious.
After the radio festival this year, what about women?
What about
Jane Garvey? What about Victoria? What about Fee Glover?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't have to be a bloke.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, it would be really interesting to see, you know, a shortlist there.
OK, we'll just pause for a second. Let me just say, if you want to catch any of the highlights on stage or off, go to radiotoday.co.uk/RAA14. You can listen to all that stuff and download it if you wish. There's also a terrific blog by our old friend Adam Bowie. I don't know whether either of you have seen it. Adam has gone through all the results from all the S awards of previous years and tabulated them so we can see how the BBC does, how commercial radio does over this period since 1983.
Has he got a bit of time on his hands or something?
I think he doesn't seem to have very much to do right now, but it's a terrific piece of work. Just before we go, I wondered if you'd like to just comment on the Radio Devon affair, which is really the big talking point. This elderly, I think it would be fair to say, presenter plays The Sun Has Got His Hat On from the 1930s, the original Ambrose version. It's got the N-word in it. He doesn't notice he's sacked, then he's reinstated, but he doesn't want to come back. What do we think of that? Is this the BBC shooting itself in the foot again?
I mean, if you read some of the stories around it, the BBC, as they admit, didn't handle it, you know, the best way that they possibly could have done. I mean, you know, having listened to a bit of the guy's programme, you do kind of wonder whether this was a useful and a helpful ending to a very long career for the radio station. I don't know. I mean, given that actually, you know, it played, I think it was on March the 14th. I did actually go back. On March the 14th, Radio Devon did play Oliver's Army by Elvis Costello, that also mentions that particular word, and nobody was sacked and nobody has been fired. But having said that, you know, it just does seem sad for the BBC, particularly in the week that we've also had, you know, the continued fallout out of Clarkson. You know, it does seem sad that the BBC, once again, don't seem to quite know how to handle this kind of thing.
What I wondered was, where was BBC senior management to talk about it, to explain why that decision had been made? They all seem to have gone to ground.
Well, I haven't heard the clip, so I'm not going to pretend I have. However, from everything I've read, I have seen the articles. There's clearly some basic production elements in terms of, you know, we do a lot of late night shows for One Extra. Well, the music on that needs a lot of vetting and checking. And that's just basic production, that you make sure you know what's going out. And you've got to be very careful. If you're going to include stuff that has words that are highly, highly offensive and inflammatory, then I think there's a responsibility as a broadcaster.
You've got to listen to the tunes before you play them, haven't you?
Yeah.
Steve Ackerman, thank you. And thank you very much for having us. James, we're off to the House of Commons, aren't we?
We are. We're both wearing suits. This is a fairly
unique 2 days running in my case. We'll be covering that on the Radio Today programme next week. In the meantime, thanks for having us, Steve. Thank you, James. And let's have some news now from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
BBC Radio 2 has won Station of the Year at the Radio Academy Awards in London. Here's controller Bob Shannon.
This is just such a thrill, such an honour for all of us. I'm very proud of Radio 2. I'm very proud of all of these people here. Chris, great big chunk of this belongs to you and the breakfast team for a phenomenal launch pad for Radio 2. I want to thank all the presenters who are the nation's favourites. I want to thank Lorna and Robert and Jeff and Lewis and Paul, who had a fantastic year. All the production teams, the editors, all the people who support the production teams. They're a fantastic operation. They love Radio 2. They know how to make the good really popular and the popular very, very good. Thank you.
Commercial radio did well compared to previous years too, taking home 35% of the gold awards. Both BBC Radio 4 and Absolute won 4 golds, including, for Absolute, Brand of the Year. Capital FM's Dave and Lisa won Breakfast Gold, just one of 16 awards Global took home on the night. In total, Commercial Radio won 33 awards and the BBC got 55. And Tony Blackburn was awarded with his second gold award. Here's what he had to say.
You know, 50 years, I've got a lot of people to say hello to, so it'll only be about an hour and a half. Lots of people. I want to thank very much indeed my medical team that keep me going. And that's the latest accident. Still not arrested, though.
It's Rajar once again this week. Results for quarter one of 2014 are out, and full data and news is provided at Radio Today as ever. Finally, a new event has been organised for imaging producers and directors. The International Imaging Days Conference will take place in Amsterdam on September the 8th and 9th. Details on these stories and more now available at radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, MuseBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion.
Visit bionics.co.uk today.
uk-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
uk-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UKVoiceover. Radio
Moment. In a sense, radio began this week, 92 years ago.
To hello, Marconi House, London, calling.
Oh, yes.
To hello, Marconi House, London.
To hello was the second UK station to broadcast regularly. I say regularly, it was 1 hour a day from the seventh floor of Marconi House on the Strand in London.
Good afternoon. Well, I'd like to be able to bring this bunch of records to you. And then I'd see from the look on your face whether each one pleased you or bored you. Songs, for instance, that we've heard so often, sung by our friends or by professional artists or played by bands or broadcast, do they still come to your mind with a fragrance of memory?
Two LO programmes began there this week in 1922, transmitted at 100 watts. Radio 1. A generation grew up with the Radio 1 Roadshow. It was launched in 1973 and became a phenomenon. Radio 1 DJs wore shorts and silky branded jackets on stage, played silly games, and the crowds gathered. And there were Radio 1 fun days too, notably this week in 1975 in Leicestershire.
That's a record that the Rollers picked out as their particular favourite. That was the Beatles and All You Need Is Love. We have the most amazing scenes going on here this afternoon, as you can no doubt hear, partly going on behind us since the Rollers have been here. We have a little river surrounding, two various parts of the track here, and the girls are actually swimming across the river to try and get at their idols. In the meantime, their idols are trying to get away, and in the meantime, we're about to meet our next...
David Hamilton with the Bay City Rollers at Mallory Park this week in 1975. The 70s were also known for industrial action, and radio stations, which were then pretty unionised, were no exception. This week in 76, Radio Trent in Nottingham had a walkout on its hands over the exit of its first programme director.
In many senses, this is between Bob Schneider and myself, obviously. But nevertheless, since he is a member of ABAS, there is procedure we must go through, which we are prepared and indeed are so doing. In essence, he is a line manager, in my opinion, has not been acting as a line manager.
Never a dull moment back then. Dennis Maitland, the MD of Trent, speaking this week in 76. Tony Della Hunty was later to work there, but this week in 85 he was with Pennine Radio in Bradford. And this week that year saw him commentating live at Valley Parade. It was a match he'd never forget.
They're running around all round us and people are saying, get onto that pitch. People all the time spilling onto the pitch. The game is stopped. Mickey Bullet, Yogi, you can see above me.
Oh,
what can you say?
The whole stand is on fire, Tony. It's an absolute and it's spreading quickly. There's going to be problems, Tony.
Let's get all those people out of there. Let's get those people. Just take your time. Don't rush. Go down there.
Tony Della Hunty on the Bradford fire disaster 29 years ago this week. 56 people were killed. That commentary from Pennine for IRN. Commercial radio in the UK brought a new sort of football commentary to these shores, possibly more passion and a partisan approach to local clubs. Happy 79th birthday then this week to one of Birmingham's best remembered commentators. Trained by listening to sports radio overseas, Tony Butler unleashed his spirit on BRMB listeners.
Port Vale now. Well, of course, obviously no score draw numbers, no need to worry about that. So Wolves are back in Division 1. But what a fright they had, leading 3-0 at half-time against Charlton, and finally 3-all draw. Well, from soccer to bowls, let's go straight back to the Division 4 Championships at Ward End and Mike Wakelam.
Back here at the Ward End Conference.
Well, first of all, what I remember is the very first programme on BRMB when Keith Hayes, you remember Keith
Yes,
Hayes?
Yes, I do indeed.
Canadian, yeah, Toronto. He said, you'll fail. I mean, and I said, why? He said, because nobody's here, you'll fail. He said, you've got to have something positive. I said, well, football around here is pretty positive, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought, oh, God. And so off I went. After that, we just took off. And you could do whatever you like, more or less, you know. It was nowhere near politically correct.
Happy birthday this week to Tony Butler, heard on BRMB and BBC WM. Also happy birthday this week to this chap.
Can you imagine that in this day and age, we are not allowed on radio or television to advertise contraceptives?
Stupid.
Is it not the most cretinous thing? I do know some broadcasters who have a very high moral fibre and wouldn't like commercials for you know, sheaths or pills or other forms of contraceptives. Am I allowed to say this on the air? I don't give a stuff. I'm telling you anyway, like it is. No, don't you try pulling me off the air. Don't you try shutting me up.
James Whale, heard there on Radio Air in Leeds. Also heard over the years on Metro, LBC, Talk Radio, Talk Sport and Radio Derby, and a TV show too. Unexpected drama on Radio 4 this week. 4 years ago, on Front Row, Russell Crowe walked out on Mark Lawson.
The problem that's in front of you is the one that you need to solve.
And finally, you can either answer this or not. I'll just give you the chance because it's out there at the moment. As you know, that the suggestion you didn't want to say the famous line in Gladiator in this book that has come out.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't get the Irish thing, bro.
Russell Crowe taking exception to Mark Lawson this week in 2008. It's 43 years this week since one of the most dramatic pirate radio broadcasts.
We are having to abandon ship very soon. The bridge and the engine room are on fire. The fire has taken control of the ship. The fire was caused by a bomb thrown on board from a small motor ship. A small motor launch with an outboard motor. We don't know who it belongs to. We don't know where it came from or where it's going to. But it certainly bombed us while it was here. Fire caused by a bombing in the engine room on Radio North Sea International, the radio ship Mebo 2.
The Radio North Sea International pirate ship being firebombed by raiders this week in 1971. So with Buzz FM, later Choice, launching in Birmingham this week 24 years ago.
And the spirit of Birmingham. I'm Mark Williams.
And I'm Nikki J.
Primetime Radio going on air on Digital One 14 years ago.
Primetime Radio.
And the last BBC broadcast from Savoy Hill 82 years ago before the move to Broadcasting House.
At 2 Savoy Hill, London.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and congratulations on your awards. This has been the Radio Today programme. I've been Trevor at trevordan.com. It's been a TDC production. And we'll have news about commercial radio and their action stations plan next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.